Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
So take your copy of God's Word, go with me to Proverbs 19. That's where we're going to be today, Proverbs 19. You've all heard of documentaries, but in 1984, for those of you who were alive, and maybe you weren't alive, but you've probably heard of this, this somewhat new genre of film was popularized called the mockumentary. Not a documentary, but a mockumentary. While documentaries, while they deal with non-fictional, real-life stuff, mockumentaries are made up. They're fictional documentaries. They spoof and they satirize real life in comedic ways. Well, in 1984, director Rob Reiner, he released the mockumentary called This is Spinal Tap, which followed this fictional British heavy metal band Spinal Tap around on their U.S. tour. And one of the most famous scenes in this is when fictional lead guitarist Nigel Tufnel, he is explaining to the documentary director there in the film that the guitar amps that they use are very, very special. Because you see, a regular amp only goes to 10. The volume knob only goes to 10. But their amps go all the way to 11. Check out this picture here. This is from the movie, right? There's the proof. And so the director goes, now does that mean that your guitar amps are louder? And Nigel responds back, well, it's louder by at least one, he says in there. And so the idea of turning it up to 11, it came to mean something, turning something up to extra, extra loud. Now in our lives right now, it's not necessarily the volume, the noise that is turned up to 11, but do you ever feel like the crazy around you has been turned up to 11? Can I get an amen, right? Right, things just, they just feel extra crazy, right? In the political realm, in the educational realm, societal realm, the medical realm. So many areas of life right now, they just seem extra tense, extra controversial, extra crazy. And it tempts you and me to be three things: anxious, angry, and aggressive. Those are our temptations. And so to help us navigate that, I want to point you to one of the most foundational truths in all of Scripture. So what do we do when the crazy gets cranked up to 11? Well, we remember Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19:21. I want to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. And remember, as we read this, this is not a man speaking or a woman speaking. This is not some pundit or some quote-unquote expert. This is Almighty God speaking to us that we might know truth. Here's what the Word of God says. Verse 21 of Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, 21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Let me read that again. Let it soak over you for just a moment here. I'm going to read it one more time. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Let's pray together. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning, and we're going to hang on this truth, Lord, because the crazy has been turned up to 11, God, but we know, based upon your word, where you stand and where we can trust. And so Father, I pray that if anybody came in carrying the baggage of anxiety or fear this morning, God, that you would help us to cast our eyes on you and to cast our cares on you and to cast our very lives on you. Father, your purpose will stand. And I want to pray right now just for a moment, Lord, because one of your purposes in this life is that all men, women, boys, and girls come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I'm so thankful for Jan Marie's witness and testimony this morning in the baptismal waters. If there's anybody under the sound of my voice, Father, who's never turned and trusted Jesus, I pray this morning the Holy Spirit will call them, Lord, will clearly make them convicted of their sin, and they would turn and trust in Jesus and be saved. Father, move in our midst, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen and amen. Grab your seat if you would. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So the first thing that we see in our text here, guys, is that people plan, prepare, and prognosticate. That's what people do, right? Many are the plans in the mind of a man. He's gonna do this, and then he's gonna do that, and then he's gonna do this, right? We make plans, we fill out our calendars, we look into the future and we say, this is what I plan to do. You look around the room and you see, well, she believes this, and so she prepares for this. Think about people of the older generation for a moment. From the older generation, particularly those who went through the Depression or who had parents who went through the Depression, they have one thing that they all share in common, and that's this: they don't throw much away. I've been to houses, I've been to barns, I've been to buildings on top, and there's all sorts of stuff stuffed in there. Things that my generation would say, dude, that's trash, that's junk. I mean, why would you keep that? Get rid of it. But the older generation says, well, that could be reused. That could be repurposed. You never know when you're gonna need it. So you'd better keep it. They're prepared for almost anything. And we see sort of in our day and age that it even gets stepped up even to a higher level when you take on that mentality of that extremism of like the preppers. Think about preppers today. A prepper is a person who believes that this catastrophic disaster or this emergency is just around the corner. And so they make preparations. They typically stockpile food and ammunition because you never know who you're gonna have to shoot. and they stockpile other supplies like medical supplies and medicine and all these things. And I know that 2020 kind of brought a little bit of prepper out into all of us, okay? But many are the plans of man. Many are the preparations of man. But we don't just see plans and preparations in our days. We also see prognostications. We see this, you know, people say, this is what's gonna happen in the future. Just look at the stats. The infection rates, they're on the rise, so you better do something fast. Over the last 100 years, the surface temperature of the earth has risen by 1 degree Fahrenheit, so you better sell your SUV. You better get one of those electric compact cars. The inflation rate is on the rise, and so you better diversify, get into precious metals. And we see people all worked up into a frenzy by prognosticators telling us what's going to be and how we'd better do this ASAP. Many are the plans in the mind of a man. And to be honest, let's just be honest for a moment. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We don't know who to trust. We don't know who to believe. We don't know which way is right. We don't know which way we should go. And it's enough to drive our crazy to 11. But notice the second truth in our text here. The second truth in our text, which is essentially this: but God's purpose prevails. Yes, people are gonna plan, prepare, and prognosticate, but God's purpose prevails. And so I want you to look at the text again. Proverbs 19:21. Many, it says, are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So you know what that means, beloved? That means that God is in control. Let that wash over you. I mean, just take a deep breath for a moment, right? God's purpose prevails. That means that his purpose wins, that his purpose trumps all other purposes. It means that his plan is the plan, and all of the plans, they bow down to him. God is in control. And one of my favorite passages of scripture that really capture this idea that God is in control and helps you and me to understand who we are and what we are and who God is and what God is Isaiah 40, 21 through 26. Listen to what it says. It says, do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he, that's God, who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. I love how God here in Isaiah starts off like, hey, don't you know? Haven't you heard? These rhetorical questions that come to us like, of course you know this. Of course we do. And here's the truth of the matter, guys. When the chaos gets turned up to 11, it's so easy for us to fix our eyes on the chaos instead of fixing our eyes on God who is in control. Look, I hope you didn't come in here this morning looking for me to build up your self-esteem and to tell you that you are great. That's not what I came to do. That's not what the Bible here does. The Bible here tells us to put our esteem in God and to tell you and to declare to you that God is great. This is the God that we serve. This is the God who holds the whole world in his hands. And guess what? He's really satisfied being God. He loves being God. He's not about to give it up. He's not ready to abdicate his responsibility and vacate his throne. Isaiah 42 verse 8 says, I am the Lord. That's my name, my glory I give to no other. Therefore, that's what he does. He acts for his own glory and for our own good. In fact, Psalm 115 verse 3 declares this. It says, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Nothing can stay his hand. He is Almighty God. Ephesians 1:11 describes God as the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That, y'all, is omnipotence, all mightiness, all powerfulness. He's the God, as it says in Scripture, is the one that can open a door that nobody can close and close a door that nobody can open. Nothing is stronger than our God. And he's not just satisfied being God. Like, look, y'all, he's really good. He's really good at being God. In fact, he promises us in his sovereignty to work all things for our good. Romans 8:28, a passage that you probably know very well. You've probably memorized this. Reminds us how God is in control, but it's not just a control without love. It's not just a control without purpose. It's a control aimed, it says here. Listen to what it says. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I just got to be honest. That's from the ESV, the English Standard Version, which I typically preach out of, but that translation is kind of weak sauce. I'm just gonna be straight up with you. Because it kind of makes it sound like it's just gonna all work out. Like somehow, some way, just it's all gonna turn out good. That's why I like the New American Standard translation better, because it's more straightforward. And it really gives credit to the one who is really working it all. Here's what it says in the NASB. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's not just this amorphous force that's working out in the universe. No, this is a intentional, purposeful, personal, loving, almighty God who's bringing it all together. So I say to you this morning, do you love God? Are you called by God to follow God? Then know this morning, God is good. And he is indeed causing all things to work together for the good in your life. Guys, that means the devil cannot have you. The virus cannot have you. The despot and the madman cannot have you. The tanking economy cannot have you. You are God's, and he is working good in you and for you. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So what does all of this mean for you and for me? Here's today's takeaway. Here's today's truth that I want you to leave here with from this text, and it's this. In our chaotic world, you can rest assured in our in-control God. That doesn't mean you tempt God. That means you use wisdom, right? You take precautions and all those things. You don't go stand out in the middle of 231 out here and just say, if a truck hits me, it hits. No. You're wise and you work and you do the things that you should do. But nevertheless, you rest assured in our in-control God. Listen, you don't have to fear because God holds you and he holds your tomorrow. You don't have to be anxious because God knows exactly what you need. And he knows what's best for you. And he knows exactly what will be most glorious to him. You don't have to be aggressive trying to assert your will on everybody else. Either way you look at it, casting aspersions on others who dare to disagree with you. You can be still and know that God is God. You see, in our chaotic world, you can rest assured in our in-control God. That means three things. You can rest. You can trust. And you can worship God whose purpose will stand. I want to tell you right now, one of the greatest ways in your life and in my life to remove anxiety and fear is not just to say, well, just trust him. Just rest in him. No, one of the greatest ways for you and for me to replace anxiety and fear with those things is to worship God. And I want you to see in Psalm 95, as we come to a close this morning, that's exactly what the psalmist does. He praises our in-control God, and it leads him to greater praise. And I pray that you would worship God along with the psalmist here. Psalm 95, through the first 7 verses, listen to what it says. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs and praises. For the Lord is a great God and a king above all kings. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands." Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And if you will worship him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, God will work in you through the Holy Spirit to give you that trust, to give you that assurance, to give you that rest, because God is on his throne. Here's my final prayer as the praise team comes. Here's my final prayer for us. May you rest in our big God who never rests or abandons his throne.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.